7:42 p.m., March 12, 2025. A reporter sits in a small conference room at the Riverton Community Legal Clinic with a recorder, a pen, and a stack of de-identified intake notes. Outside the glass, the last clients of the evening speak in low voices. Inside, the clinic director traces circles on a page where similar phrases repeat across a year of files. Emotional disconnection. Infidelity. Verbal abuse. Money strain. Unequal labor. Trust gone thin. No names will be used. No single story stands alone. The recorder light turns red. The director asks for careful language and clear lines between allegation and proof. The reporter agrees. The pages hold patterns rather than headlines. They show how small cuts add up to a decision. The work tonight is to map those first cuts before the turning point arrives. Chapter 1, Setup and Stakes. Timeline card, January to April, 2025. Primary location, Riverton Community Legal Clinic, third floor interview rooms. Sources, de-identified intake summaries, counselor notes with permission, three anonymized client interviews conducted on site. Composite details used to protect privacy. Documents described only when clients provided copies. Method note. This chapter records client reports and observes what the clinic can verify with provided documents. It does not assign legal fault. Allegations and verified items are labeled as such. The purpose is clarity and harm reduction. The clinic hallway smells like coffee and cold air. Chairs along the wall hold people who read their screens and look at the door every time a counselor appears. A white noise machine hums near the ceiling to guard private talk. On a corkboard, a flyer reads, "You are not alone. Information is power." The director places a short stack of anonymized summaries on the table. The stack represents a sample, not the full caseload. The files share a shape that repeats in early stage departures. Six themes rise before any decision to leave. Emotional disconnection. Infidelity. Emotional or verbal abuse. Financial irresponsibility. Unequal household labor. Loss of trust. The files rarely contain only one. Most contain four to six by the time a client reaches this office. Case composite A. Name change to Lena. Age 36. Married 8 years. No children. She schedules an intake after 3 months of what she calls silence at home. She reports that daily talk has narrowed to logistics. She reports that jokes are met with a shrug. She uses the phrase, "I feel invisible," twice in the first 15 minutes. The counselor codes the entry as emotional disconnection. The record shows no incident reports or legal filings. The only document in the file is a weekly planner where she marked nights that felt connected and nights that felt empty. In January, the marks fall from 3-1 to none by late February. This is not a proof document. It is a self-log that gives her language in the room. The counselor notes that a self-log can be useful when both partners later seek couples counseling and need a timeline of perceived change. Case composite B. Name change to Noor. Age 32. Married 5 years. She discovered messages on her spouse's phone in November. The messages contain endearments and descriptions of late work talks with another person. There is no photo content. The counselor views two screenshots with names and numbers redacted by Noor before she arrives. Noor uses the phrase emotional affair. The counselor records reported extramarital emotional involvement. The counselor adds a note that the provided screenshots show affectionate language consistent with Noor's description. Noor describes a shift that follows the discovery. Sleep disruption. Appetite loss. Checking behavior she does not like in herself. She expresses a desire to repair the marriage if transparency and counseling are possible. She asks for a referral that her spouse will accept. The clinic provides a list of licensed couples counselors and an explanation of what transparency agreements can look like if both partners commit. Case composite C. Name change to Carla. Age 40. Married 11 years. One child in early grade school. She arrives with a friend and asks that the friend wait in the hall. Inside the interview room, she describes a pattern of raised voice, insults about competence, and a cabinet door slam 2 weeks prior. She does not report physical contact. She reports fear during arguments and a new habit of planning her schedule to avoid triggers. The counselor codes verbal abuse with intimidation and opens a safety conversation even though no current physical threat is reported. Carla does not bring documents. The counselor's notes include a short list of phrases clients often use when emotional and verbal abuse are present. You are nothing without me. You cannot do this on your own. You make me do this. Carla nods when the list is read back. She adds, he says I am dramatic if I cry. The counselor explains patterns of escalation and offers a safety plan template. Carla takes the template and says she is not ready to plan to leave. She wants the plan because it calms her. Across these three interviews, one line repeats in the counselor's handwriting. Client seeking clarity and repair. At this stage, most clients ask for tools that might make repair possible. They ask for counseling referrals. They ask for scripts that help them start a hard conversation with less heat. They ask what kinds of budgets and calendars help couples move arguments into facts. The clinic staff answer with checklists and neutral language. Financial strain in the early stack. Two of the first 10 intakes in January include surprise debt disclosures. In one, the subject opens a statement that lists a card she did not know existed. In the other, late notices arrive for a loan she thought had been paid off. In both, the spouse manages most bills. In both, the subject reports feeling excluded from detailed money talk. The counselor categorizes financial irresponsibility and information asymmetry. In one file, the subject brings a photo of a whiteboard she created with monthly fixed costs. The board shows rent, utilities, insurance, groceries, and a line for savings that is blank. Next to the photo, the counselor writes, subject proposes transparent budget meeting weekly with documentation. Spouse declined last week. Subject requests language to renew the ask. The clinic provides a simple script. I feel unsafe when I cannot see our finances. I need a shared list of accounts and a weekly check-in so we can solve this together. Unequal domestic load. In February, 5 of the 12 new files list chores as a stress point. The subjects carry most cooking and cleaning. They schedule medical appointments. They handle school forms for children or take on elder care for a parent. When they raise the topic, they describe a cycle. First a promise from the spouse to help, then a brief period of help, then a return to old patterns. This chapter does not examine that reversal in depth. It records the opening imbalance and the immediate effects. Backs hurt. Tempers shorten. Resentment climbs. One subject brings a picture of a chore chart she posted on the fridge. The chart shows tasks across days with initials. After 2 weeks, the spouse's column is mostly empty. The subject says she removed the chart so she would not look at the empty boxes every night. The counselor marks unequal household labor and visibility tools attempted limited effect. Loss of trust as a compound line. Trust sits under several categories. It drops after infidelity. It drops after hidden debt. It drops when a spouse promises to share labor and fails. It drops when words and days do not match. When counselors code loss of trust, they are marking the client's perception that the partner's statements are not reliable. Sometimes there is a document. Often there is not. The work then shifts to what would rebuild trust if both partners want to try. The lists are simple and steady. A shared budget. A shared calendar. A couple's counseling plan with booked sessions. A small set of agreed check-ins with times and topics. A promise is considered an opening, not an outcome. Clinic explainer. Allegation versus verified. The director reviews a page that lists what this office treats as verifiable when a client brings documents. Bank statements that match reported dates. Text messages or emails provided by the client that contain relevant language. Calendars or logs created over time, not written in one sitting. In contrast, allegations without documents are recorded as the client's report. Both matter for support planning. Only some are evidence in a legal sense. The distinction is kept clear in the file. Early attempts at repair. In the January to April window, many couples are still trying. Subjects request joint counseling. Some spouses agree. Some do not. Subjects ask to sit down with numbers and split the invisible work. Some spouses sit down and help. Some promise and delay. Subjects test new rules for phones. No phones in the bedroom. No private passwords. No long messages with a coworker after 10 p.m. Some rules hold. Some break in a week. The chapter stops here before we follow what holds or breaks long term. A quiet interview, late winter. The third floor room holds soft chairs and a box of tissues no one touches. The client in this slot is Ava, age 38, married 9 years, no children. She works in healthcare and keeps long shifts. she reports that her spouse calls her selfish when she misses dinner for overtime. She reports that he jokes about her talking too much when she shares a story. She does not call this abuse. She calls it small things that pile up. The counselor listens and reflects. You are asking for attention and respect. You are not receiving it. Ava nods and looks at the floor. The counselor asks what she wants from this appointment. Ava says, I want a plan that is not just hoping. The counselor and Ava draft a 1-month repair plan with 3 items. 1. A weekly hour with no screens to talk about the week. 2. A split of basic chores written on paper and placed where both can see it. 3. A first couple's counseling session booked and attended, not just scheduled. They decide on a checkpoint date. They agree on what will count as movement. This plan does not guarantee success. It clarifies what success would look like, where early plans fail. In some files, the first counseling session is booked and then canceled. In some, the shared budget sheet opens and then sits empty. In some, the chore list works until one flu week knocks it off rhythm. The clinic notes that early failure is common and does not prove bad faith on its own. It may prove that repair needs more structure than most couples apply without coaching. The chapter records the attempt, not the outcome. A small table, a big list. Late February, the director shows a simple count from the de-identified log. Among clients in the early stage sample, emotional disconnection appears in 8 of 10 files. Trust erosion appears in 7. Unequal labor appears in 6. Financial strain appears in 5. Infidelity appears in 4. Emotional or verbal abuse appears in 4. The director warns against generalizing beyond this room. The count helps counselors anticipate what a client might not have named yet. It does not predict any one person's path. A note on care. The clinic uses language that treats everyone involved as a person with full dignity. Staff do not insult absent spouses. Staff do not tell a client to leave. Staff lay out options and risks. Safety is weighed. Finances are mapped. Values are clarified. The client decides. That boundary is written in the training manual and repeated in this interview. Scene, late March. Noor returns with her spouse for a brief joint consult before entering private couples counseling offsite. He agrees to transparency on devices and a break in contact with the person in the messages. He agrees to 2 counseling sessions before the next work trip. He signs a simple 1-page agreement that Noor wrote and he revised. The clinic does not keep the agreement. It notes that the couple left with a plan and a time. Noor texted the clinic 2 weeks later to confirm they attended the first session. The second session was scheduled for a date in April. This file closes until the couple requests more support. Scene, early April. Carla arrives for a follow-up alone. She reports that the tone at home has softened for a few days at a time when she names specific behavior and leaves the room when voices rise. She also reports that a cabinet door slam recurred. She did not feel safe in that moment. The counselor revisits the safety plan. The plan lists who to call, where to go, and what to take if a night becomes unstable. Carla stores copies of vital documents with her friend in the hall. She says she is still hoping to repair the marriage. She wants a plan that does not rely on moods. The counselor offers a referral to an anger management program if the spouse is willing. Carla says she will ask. Scene, mid-April. Lena emails a gratitude note. The subject line reads, "We talked for 1 hour without phones." Inside the message, 2 lines. "We spoke about how lonely I feel. He did not fix it. He listened. We set Tuesday nights for this. I feel less fog." The clinic prints the email for the file and replies with a reminder to book couples counseling if they want more structure. The file stays in early stage. No legal actions. No separation plans. No decision beyond the next Tuesday. What it costs to stay. Clients often ask a hard question in this window. How long do I try before the trying is the problem? The clinic cannot answer for them. The director says, "We measure effort by actions that hold. If actions hold for months, many couples recover. If actions do not hold, the same pain returns." In the files, this shows up as a kind of calendar math. Promises are not counted. Days with changed behavior are counted. Words are not dismissed. They are paired with practice. That pairing is what clients use to decide. What happens when the 6 themes stack? When emotional disconnection, infidelity, verbal or emotional abuse, financial irresponsibility, unequal labor, and loss of trust combine, clients report a feeling of thin air. They describe walking on quiet feet. They describe dread at 5 p.m. They describe planning their sentences the way a person plans a route on black ice. These are subjective reports. They are nonetheless consistent across files. The counselor's notes include a sentence they read to normalize the experience. Your nervous system is doing its job. It is alerting you to a pattern that does not feel safe or fair. A brief primer the clinic gives couples. The page is one sheet with four boxes. Box 1. Shared money. Write down every account. Agree on a weekly time to update. Box 2. Shared labor. List tasks. Assign names. Switch two of them each month. Box 3. Shared story. 1 hour a week without screens to talk about the week and what you each need. Box 4. Shared help. Choose a counselor and give it 6 sessions before you decide it does not help. The clinic says the page is not magic. It is a way to turn feelings into structure. Some couples take it and change. Some take it and stall. Some leave it on the table and change nothing. A note on culture and context. The clients in this stack come from different backgrounds and neighborhoods. Some have strong extended family networks. Some do not. Some hold faith commitments that shape their view of marriage and divorce. Counselors ask open questions and adapt plans. They do not prescribe a path that violates the client's values. They do ask clients to weigh safety, health, and dignity in every plan. Where this chapter stops, the files will soon show mid-year stressors that tend to intensify the early six. Addiction. Control framed as care. Intimacy that fades. Neglect that looks like busyness. Parenting conflict. Untreated mental health. Family interference. Those belong to the next chapter. Here the record holds steady at the threshold. People come in with a list that began as a feeling and became a pattern. They ask what repair would require. They write a small plan. They try it for a set time. Repetition audit, one line. Emotional disconnection, infidelity, verbal or emotional abuse, money strain, unequal labor, and loss of trust appear in clusters and are met first with repair plans that test transparency, labor balance, and counseling. Chapter 2. Escalation and Reversal. Timeline card. May to September, 2025. Locations. Riverton Metro, Northside and East Bank districts, two nearby towns within a 1 hour drive. Sources. For additional client interviews with consent, one support group observation with verbal consent for anonymized note-taking, counselor field notes, de-identified intake summaries, copies of bank statements and message screenshots provided by clients. Names changed. Composite details used to protect privacy. Reporting note. Allegations are recorded as client reports. When documents are available, they are described as corroborating material. This chapter does not assign legal fault. It records patterns that appear as pressure increases inside a marriage. The clinic runs late in summer. Air from the hallway smells like copier toner and rain. A child plays with a quiet puzzle while an aunt whispers into her phone. Behind a door, a counselor lists the steps for a basic safety plan. The recorder light blinks on and off. The pattern continues from spring. The early 6 reasons do not vanish. New layers arrive and shift the weight. Addiction enters first in several files. It does not always announce itself. Sometimes it shows up as receipts. Sometimes as a string of late-night withdrawals. Sometimes as a bottle hidden behind the winter coats. A client we call Marina arrives with a slim folder. Inside are bank statements that show cash removed at 11:30 p.m. or 12:15 a.m. 3 times a week for 6 weeks. There is also a message where her spouse writes that he will be at the spot and not to wait up. The counselor asks questions and notes what can be verified. The dates match the withdrawals. The pattern is clear. Marina reports that arguments start when she asks about the nights out. She reports raised voice and a broken lamp during one return. There is no police report. She is tired and embarrassed. The counselor names the risk markers linked to substance misuse. A referral for treatment is offered along with a safety plan. The spouse refuses treatment, according to Marina. The pattern continues into June. Across the sample, when addiction appears, other stressors intensify. Money strain grows because cash vanishes and bills go unpaid. Trust erodes at a faster rate because explanations are thin or change by the day. Sleep disruption increases for both partners. Subjects begin quiet preparation sooner. The clinic notes that a plan for leaving is not the same thing as leaving. It is a way to reduce harm if a night becomes unsafe. Control enters next, but wears the mask of care. Jess walks in with a ruled notebook and a careful voice. She lists clothing comments. She lists a rule that she texts a photo from the break room every shift. She lists a check-in quota that grew from once an hour to every 30 minutes. She says this growth was framed as worry. She says her spouse installed a location app during a phone update. She did not approve it. She discovered it when a battery report showed unexpected activity. The counselor defines coercive control in plain language. Surveillance. Isolation. Rules that shift without notice. Jess nods as each word lands. She says she stopped seeing friends because it was easier to avoid the fallout. She has no documents beyond her list and her phone battery report. The counselor does not treat the battery report as proof of the app. The counselor does treat the list and the pattern as credible narrative. Help is offered to remove tracking. A script is offered for a boundary talk. The file records control and shrinking freedom. The danger is not only physical. It is the loss of agency that reshapes a life. Growing apart does not create a single dramatic page. It fills many pages with blank sections. In a support group on a warm June night, six chairs hold a simple circle. Consent is given to record themes without names. Three participants use the phrase roommates with paperwork. They talk about values that drifted. One wanted to adopt. One wanted to move closer to a parent who was not well. One wanted a graduate degree that would mean three nights a week in class. Their spouses wanted the opposite or refused to decide. No shouting. No slammed doors. Just time, and a sense that the house had become a waiting room. Counselors say this category often co-appears with lack of intimacy and neglect. There are rarely documents. There are calendars that do not overlap and weeks where nothing is planned together. Intimacy fades in the middle files. Anika arrives with a log her individual therapist suggested. The log marks shared time and physical closeness across 5 months. It begins with weekly. It becomes monthly. Then it stops. She reports that attempts to talk about it are met with a joke. She reports that requests for counseling are waved off with a line about stress. The counselor looks at the log and sees a downward slope. The log is not proof of cause. It is proof of experience. The counselor explains a common link between communication health and intimacy. Without steady repair, closeness shrinks. Rejection is internalized. Both partners grow resentful. By midsummer, many subjects with this pattern have already started individual counseling to stabilize mood and sleep. Neglect appears in the files as misaligned priorities that hold despite repeated requests. A subject writes that there is always one more game, or one more stream, or one more shift. Another writes that the spouse sits next to her on the couch, but lives inside the screen every night. Calendars and threads show cancellations that come an hour before dinner. The clinic describes this as a consistent choice to center individual activities over shared time. The language is neutral on purpose. The impact is not neutral. The subject reports that she feels unimportant. She stops asking. The silence widens. Parenting conflicts intensify the whole field. Two couples in the June cohort do not yet have children and still argue about how they would raise them. One wants a gentle routine. The other wants strict enforcement. One wants faith education. The other does not. In couples with children, the conflicts move from talk to daily life. A subject reports being undermined in front of a child after setting a clear limit. Another reports unilateral decisions to allow late visits with relatives against agreed rules. Text messages and shared calendars record times and topics. The counselor flags this category because it magnifies every other stress. Children watch the conflict or feel its cold air. Parents feel judged and alone. When the conflict is chronic, intimacy suffers. When intimacy suffers, patience thins. The loop tightens. Untreated mental health struggles draw a line that runs across every room. Sylvia reports that her spouse tried two therapy sessions for anxiety and stopped. She brings a message where he writes that he is fine and that therapy is not for him. She describes shutdowns that last a full day or longer. She describes moving slowly in the kitchen to avoid provoking a reaction. She describes compassion that sits next to exhaustion. The clinic encourages her to continue her own care. The counselor names the risk in carrying the emotional load for two adults. The counselor also names hope that sometimes emerges when a spouse engages care. A referral is offered again with a list of providers who accept their plan. Whether he calls is not known. Family interference crosses boundaries when the spouse connected to the interfering party does not set a line. Ray brings a voicemail from her mother-in-law. The message criticizes Ray's work hours and the way she arranges the house. Ray says her spouse laughed when she asked for support and said his mother means well. The clinic supplies scripts for the spouse to use. Thank you for caring. We are making this decision together. Please do not call during dinner. It is clear that the spouse must say the words. Ray can hold her own boundary. She cannot hold his. If he will not, the stress becomes structural. A marriage is a team. Without the boundary, the team has a leak. Midpoint reversal arrives in July across many files. It does not look the same in each house. The shape is consistent. After a confrontation or a near separation, the spouse makes promises. For 2 to 4 weeks, change is visible. Budgets are opened and updated. Chores are completed without reminders. Affection returns. The location app is removed. A counseling session is booked. Sometimes two. The reversal matters. It shows what repair would require. It shows what is possible when urgency is high. It is not always manipulative. Many spouses intend to change. Subjects intend to believe. The problem appears when 2 good weeks are presented as proof of transformation. By week 3, the budget app stops updating. By week 4, the session is canceled for work. The chore list empties again. Affection fades when the next argument goes unresolved. The clinic writes one sentence on a whiteboard used for training. Promise is a door. Practice is the room. Quiet preparation begins when the reversal fades. It is not a secret plan to ambush a spouse. It is a harm reduction plan in case the next month looks like the last 3. The steps repeat across files. Safety planning is first. The subject identifies where to go for 1 night, 1 week, 1 month. The file does not record the addresses. The plan lists who to call and a simple code phrase to request help without alarming the spouse. Document control is next. Copies of identification, insurance, leases, and statements are made and stored offsite with a trusted person. Account numbers are written down. Financial reserve follows. A legal savings account is opened in the subject's name. Deposits are small and steady. Cash for immediate needs is set aside. A communication tree is created. 2 trusted contacts are briefed. 1 holds documents. 1 is the first call if a move must happen fast. Professional links are made. The subject meets a counselor. The subject meets a legal aid attorney for a consult to understand options and timelines. The clinic can verify many of these steps. Scans of documents. Notes of referral dates. Confirmation that an account exists. These are not allegations. They are actions that create safety and clarity. A composite evening in late August places these steps in motion. The parking lot holds warm hoods and a line of wet leaves. A client exits the clinic with a folded paper and a phone to her ear. The paper lists the 5 steps in clean type. The counselor watches from the doorway to be sure a friend meets her. The friend arrives and they drive away. In the file, the counselor writes 4 words. Preparation complete. Decision pending. Calm present. Calm appears in many late stage notes. It is not a sign of ease. It is a sign that confusion has given way to a plan. Data from the clinic log adds context. Within this cohort, the 20 reasons rarely appear alone. By mid-year, the mean cluster size sits between 5 and 8 reasons in a single file. The most common trio at this stage is emotional disconnection, unequal labor, and trust erosion. When addiction is present, money strain scores rise as do ratings for conflict volatility. When toxic in-law interference is noted and the spouse does not set a boundary, subjects report higher exhaustion and lower confidence in repair. The director offers a constraint. These are internal counts, not a population study. They are useful for anticipating what a client might be living. They are not predictive models. The clinic room holds another June interview that shows how escalation and reversal blend. A client we call B arrives with her spouse for a joint session. He speaks first. He says he has removed the tracking app and wants a fresh start. He agrees to a weekly budget meeting and a shared calendar. He says he will attend counseling for 8 weeks. He signs a simple plan. His voice is warm. B says she is willing to try. The counselor schedules a follow-up in 3 weeks. At 3 weeks, the couple reports 1 budget meeting completed and 1 missed. The counseling start date is moved back due to a work trip. The calendar is updated for 2 weeks, then sits. B says she feels hopeful and worried at the same time. The counselor names that feeling. hope conditioned on actions that last. A field note from a support group at mid-July captures a shared insight. Participants trade one-line tests they used at home. One says that a change that cannot survive a bad week is not a change. Another says that a promise that needs constant rescue is not a promise. A third says that the only proof she trusts now is the calendar entry after the thing has happened. The room nods. No one is angry in this moment. The lines are not slogans. They are survival rules. The chapter tracks one more area that often bends a path: work pressure and scheduling. Some spouses take on extra shifts without discussion and then resent the state of the house. Some subjects accept extra shifts to fill a financial hole and then get labeled selfish. This is not yet the career imbalance that will appear in the next chapter. It is the preface. It is how work without agreement becomes a wedge that pushes people into separate lanes. The clinic suggests a simple tool: a weekly schedule meeting with a visible board. What time do we each leave? What time do we each return? Who cooks? Who cleans? Who rests? Without the board, each person feels like the other is not doing enough. With the board, the argument shifts into assignments that can be traded. The file from Jess returns in August with a hard page. She removed the tracking app. She said no to a photo check-in at work. She asked for no calls during a set window with friends. Her spouse responded with a barrage of messages that moved from apology to anger to apology in 2 hours. She brought the thread to the clinic. The counselor counted the switches. The number was 10. The counselor named the behavior. It is a push and pull that destabilizes the subject and reinforces control. Jess took a copy of the safety plan and told the counselor she had a place to go if needed. She did not go that night. She slept with the phone on silent in a locked bathroom drawer. In the morning, she looked older. By September, the women in these files can state conditions for repair in one sentence: shared budget and proof of use, a boundary set and held with extended family, a labor split that can be tracked and traded, sobriety support with real timelines, removal of any monitoring, and a reset on privacy. Weekly counseling with attendance that is not optional. These conditions are not punishments. They are table legs. Without them, the table cannot hold weight. When the conditions are met and maintained, some couples stabilize. When they are not, the plan for leaving moves from paper to calendar. Chapter 3: Resolution and Aftermath. Timeline card: October to February, 2025 to 2026. Locations: Riverton Courthouse District, Mediation Centers, 2 temporary housing programs, 1 employer EAP office. Sources: Exit interviews with consent, de-identified mediation summaries, counselor follow-ups at 3, 6, and 12 months when available. Client-provided documents including email confirmations of counseling attendance and budget app logs. Names changed. Composite details used to protect privacy. Reporting note: allegations are recorded as client reports. When documents are available, they are described as corroborating material. This chapter does not assign legal fault. It records decisions and outcomes after the mid-year turning point, along with system factors that shape those outcomes. The final cluster that tips the scale: a pattern becomes visible in early October. The clients who move from preparation to action do not cite one new event. They cite a group of late-stage stressors that land together: career versus marriage imbalance, communication loops that never resolve, unmet expectations that feel like a ledger, a clear fear of staying stuck, loss of respect, a practical desire for self-discovery, career versus marriage imbalance. Ava, age 38, receives a promotion offer on October 3. The offer requires 1 week of travel each quarter. She reports that her spouse responded by asking who would cook on those weeks and by suggesting she decline the role. She brings an email from her manager that outlines the travel and a written counter plan for meals that she proposed at home. The plan assigns grocery delivery on Sundays, a simple batch cook on Mondays, and a neighbor teen to help with dog walks. The spouse refused the plan, according to Ava. The counselor logs career support withheld. The clinic has seen this lever before. When growth is framed as selfishness and no alternative is accepted, clients report a sudden clarity. The choice is not career over marriage. The choice is growth with a partner or growth without a partner who blocks it. Broken communication loops. B returns with a timeline of talks that repeat. Pursue and withdraw. Raise a topic and switch topics. promise and delay. The counselor names the loop in simple terms. One person asks for repair. The other person avoids the work or shuts down. The roles can reverse. The loop can persist for months. B brings two appointment confirmations from a couple's counselor that were canceled by her spouse. She also brings a calendar screen that shows a planned weekly talk that was skipped 5 times in 6 weeks. The clinic treats the calendar as corroboration that avoidance occurred. The content of the avoided talks is not in the file. The pattern is unmet expectations as ledger. This phrase appears in several exit interviews. Clients describe a running total of promises that did not hold. A shared budget that opened and then closed. A vow to rein in gambling that lasted 9 days. A chore split that was photographed and then ignored. The ledger is not a punishment. It is a record that helps a person decide. In the files, the ledger often follows a month of genuine effort that did not survive a setback. A flu week. A parent's visit. A work crunch. Clients do not expect perfection. They expect a return to the plan after the disruption. When the return does not happen, choices are made. Fear of staying stuck. The language in this line is steady and quiet. A client says, I saw myself at 50 in the same kitchen. Another says, I was teaching the wrong lesson to my kids. A third says, I did not want to go numb. Fear of the future inside an unchanged pattern outweighs fear of the unknown. This line does not come with documents. It comes with a face that looks older in late fall than in spring, and then looks younger again by February. Loss of respect. Respect is not a slogan. It shows in small daily acts. Do you interrupt? Do you roll your eyes? Do you correct your partner in public? Do you dismiss their work as easy? When clients describe loss of respect, they rarely bring proof. They bring a list of lines that cut. Calm down. You are too sensitive. You will never make it without me. Counselors ask if there were repairs after these moments. In many cases, there were not. Without respect, repair tools fail to stick. Desire for self-discovery. This arrives last and reads like a checklist of first steps rather than a romantic idea. Finish the degree. Sleep through the night. Make a doctor appointment that was delayed. Eat without rushing. Take a walk at dusk. The clinic treats this desire as a health marker. The person is not running away from commitment. The person is moving toward agency. The day decisions become actions. A composite morning, October 19. A client we call Marina meets with a legal aid attorney and a counselor back to back. She carries a folder with identification copies, a budget printout, and a short list of immediate needs. She says she is leaving that weekend. She asks what to expect in the first week. The counselor answers in practical steps. Where to sleep? How to keep routines simple? How to signal help to a friend with a 3-word phrase if a return to the house becomes necessary to collect items. The legal consult outlines options for temporary orders and how to document exchanges of property. No one urges. No one delays. The plan follows the choices she already made. Exit logistics that repeat across files. Housing. Most clients in this cohort use a 2-step path. A friend or family member for the first week. A short-term rental. Or a room in a program after that. Those without safe contacts lean on the clinic's network. Money. A legal savings account seeded over the summer covers deposits and transport. Employers who offer EAP sometimes provide short-term grants or interest-free loans. One employer in this set offered a small relocation stipend after a manager wrote a letter. Work. Clients often disclose the change to a direct supervisor. Several workplaces allowed flexible shifts for 3 to 6 weeks. One school district adjusted parent-teacher conference times. Safety. Clients change routines. New routes to work. Phone settings adjusted. Locks at the new address confirmed. Communication. Clients choose one channel for necessary messages. Email or a co-parenting app. Unnecessary channels are blocked or muted. What can be verified? Housing confirmations. Bank statements that show deposits and rent transfers. Emails from supervisors that confirm schedule changes. App receipts that show co-parenting message threads. The files contain these items because they help with stabilization and because they reduce disputes about what was promised. Mediation, counseling, separation. Not every case ends in court. Some enter mediation. Some return to counseling with new urgency and clear conditions. Some separate with informal agreements that are later formalized. Mediation composite. Ray, and her spouse agree to meet with a mediator on November 6. The intake states two goals: a boundary with his mother, a schedule that prevents daily calls during dinner. The mediator sets simple rules: 2 minutes to speak, no interruptions, specific requests in plain language. Ray asks that the spouse send a text to his mother that says calls after 7 p.m. will not be answered and visits must be scheduled. The spouse agrees in the room. The mediator drafts a written agreement that both sign. Ray provides a later screenshot where the text was sent. She provides a calendar note that recorded a pause in dinner calls for 3 weeks. Then the calls resume. The spouse does not reinforce the line. Ray proceeds with separation. The mediation file closes with the note, "Partial compliance. Counseling composite." Noor and her spouse complete 6 sessions by December 14. They attend weekly and provide the clinic with email confirmations at Noor's request. The counselor's summary to them, not to this reporter, notes progress in transparency and empathy. Noor reports that the messages with the outside party have stopped. She reports that weekly talks have held. She requests one more month to see if the changes survive a holiday stress period. In January, she returns once to say they will continue privately. The file closes. Not every file in this chapter ends in separation. Repair holds when practice holds over time. Separation composite. Jess moves out on November 21. She notifies her employer that she will need 2 days to set up a new address and requests to work from home the following week. An HR email confirms the arrangement. She uses a co-parenting app to exchange messages about pickup times for a nephew she often helps with. She documents every exchange. She avoids direct calls. There are no police contacts. There is one message from her spouse that reads, "I will change. Please talk to me." She replies with the conditions already named in Chapter 2. No tracking. Weekly counseling with attendance proof. A boundary agreement with no photo check-ins at work. 30 days of sustained practice. He does not respond to the conditions. She does not return. The first 3 months after leaving. Follow-ups at 30, 60, and 90 days show common needs. Sleep. A budget that works on one income. A small circle of support that shows up. A way to manage holidays without collapsing. Sleep. Clients who left chaotic homes report sleeping through the night after week 3. Clients who left stable homes with cold air report sleeping through the night after week 6. This is anecdotal. It is consistent. Budget. The budget in the first month is tight. Rent. Food. Gas. A small fund for unexpected costs. Many clients use a simple envelope method. The clinic runs a 2-hour class that helps with this transition. The goal is to prevent panic and keep the plan from collapsing when a tire blows. Support. 2 reliable people beat 20 loose contacts. Clients who do best have one person who holds documents and one person who will pick up a call at 2 a.m. when a wave of doubt arrives. The files that record this small network show fewer returns to unstable homes. Holidays. October to January includes gatherings that can trigger second guessing. Counselor's script replies in advance. "I appreciate your care. I am focusing on my health right now. We are working things out privately." Clients rehearse the lines aloud. The practice lowers the pressure. Verification in this phase. Confirmed counseling appointments. Screenshots of budget categories that were filled. Email threads with supervisors. These are not shared publicly. They sit in files to help clients see their own progress and to reduce conflict if disputes arise. 6 to 12 months. By late winter, most files settle into one of 3 tracks. Track 1. Repair held. A minority of couples sustain change. They meet weekly with a counselor, or they continue skills learned in those sessions. They keep budgets and calendars visible. They share load and swap tasks monthly. They remove monitoring and keep privacy respected. They hold a clear boundary with extended family. The clinic hears from these couples once or twice. The tone of those notes is calm. There is no triumph language. There is a new routine. Track 2. Separation stabilizes. A larger group lives apart and builds independent routines. They use mediation or court only for the parts that require it. They pursue professional goals. They report improved sleep and fewer stomach symptoms. Some begin new relationships after the 12-month mark. Many do not. The clinic's language here is about stability. A stable routine is health. A calm body is health. Track 3. Cycling. A smaller group cycles through separation and return before settling. They leave, try again, leave again, then stabilize in one direction. The clinic does not judge the cycles. The files show patients from staff and steady offers of the same tools as before. The outcome is usually decided by whether the conditions for repair are met and held. A note on children. When children are present, co-parenting systems set the tone. Apps that record messages reduce conflict by forcing clarity. Agreements on handoffs at public places reduce stress. Counselors encourage both sides to speak about the other parent with respect in front of the child. When that norm holds, children adjust more easily. This chapter cannot measure their internal state. It records the steps adults take to reduce harm. Accountability lens. The end of this series looks outward at levers that made safe leaving or fair repair more likely in this cohort. The list is not political. It is practical. Financial independence tools. Employers that offered EAP grants or interest-free loans removed immediate barriers. Community credit unions that opened starter accounts with small balances reduced cash risk. Budget classes in plain language helped clients keep a plan after the first month. Accessible mental health care. Counseling that fit shift work mattered. Telehealth slots at 7 a.m. or 9 p.m. made attendance possible. When a spouse engaged care with a provider who could see them within 2 weeks, repair was more likely. Workplace flexibility. Supervisors who adjusted hours or allowed partial remote work eased the move. Written confirmation of those adjustments reduced disputes at home and in legal settings. Public understanding of coercive control. People who knew the signs named them sooner. Removal of tracking. A clear no to surveillance disguised as care. Community education sessions at libraries or clinics made a difference. Early recognition often slowed the spiral. Basic legal access. Short consultations that explained options in clear steps reduced fear. Many clients did not need full representation. They needed to know the path. When they knew it, they could plan. Quiet documentation habits. Calendars. Budget screenshots. Email confirmations. These small records lowered conflict in mediation. They lowered self-doubt during hard weeks. These levers do not decide a marriage. They change the odds that people can make decisions in safety and with dignity. What is known and what is not known. In this de-identified set, the 20 reasons documented across 3 chapters rarely appeared alone. Early clusters centered on emotional disconnection, unequal labor, money strain, infidelity, and loss of trust. Mid-year layers included addiction, control, intimacy decline, neglect, parenting conflict, untreated mental health, and in-law interference. Final clusters involved career imbalance, broken loops, unmet expectations, fear of staying stuck, loss of respect, and self-discovery. Repair held when sustained practice matched promises across multiple clusters at once. Not known. Long-term outcomes beyond 1 year. The internal state of children in each home. The private faith or cultural reasons that shaped decisions. The effects of economic changes after February. The sample is not a population study. It is a careful slice that shows patterns and useful steps. A closing sequence. On a clear morning in February, a counselor locks the clinic door and sits with a stack of follow-up notes. The notes are short. Ava accepted the promotion. B is sleeping through the night. Nor extended counseling and reports steady progress. Jess says her world is quiet. Ray moved to a place with more light. The counselor files the pages and returns to the reception desk. She refills the tissue box and straightens a flyer. The next intake will arrive at 9 a.m. The room will hold a fresh story that is not fresh at all. The pattern will be familiar. The tools will be the same. The dignity offered will be the same. At the courthouse district, people step in and out with folders and coats. A mediator walks to lunch with a thermos. An officer holds a door for an older man who moves slowly. In a small apartment on the East Bank, a woman unpacks a lamp she could not bring the first time. She places it on a table and sits on the floor to read the instructions. She builds it in 15 quiet minutes. She flips the switch. The light is warm. Across town, another woman leaves a counseling office and texts a friend. Still going. Still doing the work. The friend replies with a check mark. No advice. Just the mark. The reporter who has followed these files types the last lines of this chapter. The recorder light is off. The spiral notebook lies open to an empty page. The work here is to tell a story in a way that helps the next person see the shape of their own. That is enough.